So, as we all know, it's tough enough to squeeze maximum profitability out of a mining operation. And unproductive trucks, obviously, is a big cost for a mine operation. So when you look at the repeated impact and stress of loading and hauling rock material in these haul trucks, and, of course, the abrasive material in these haul trucks, the lining does take quite the beating. So what we're looking here is to offer a solution for the box, not only to increase the wear life of that lining, but to take it beyond that. And hopefully in the next 30 or so slides, I'm going to show you guys something that is interesting. Again, related to this, what we're trying to do is keep the truck running 100% of the time. Obviously, there's things to stop the truck, but in terms of the lining, we're trying to keep it running 100% of the time. Of course, if it's running, it's making money. When it's not running, it's maintenance, and it's costing you money. So there's several factors, of course, that influence the cost of a haul truck. It's not just the lining, but the objective here is to encourage you and motivate you to look at what we're offering. And I think it's going to show through our studies how by reducing the stress and strain in the truck and other attributes that we're going to talk about, noise and vibrations, of course, you're going to see a total cost reduction on the truck as well as some other benefits for your workers, et cetera. Now, considering, I'd say, a majority of truck linings in North America for sure, and still probably the world, is steel linings, and here I'm going to talk to you about an alternative synthetic lining, there is a large opportunity for all operations to help reduce their cost on these trucks. So the results of the study we're going to present to you, this study, of course, is a much larger study. We're going to show you a small portion of this to keep it within the time restraints. But the study is going to show you several benefits of what we call adapted rubber truck lining compared to, of course, steel, as I mentioned. It's going to show how the adaptive rubber lining absorbs stress much better, and not just in the lining, but at every point of the truck, not just within the box, but within the truck itself, and the lining is actually protecting the structure, in this case being a truck. The study also shows that through increased availability of the truck, you're going to have less maintenance and, of course, increased wear life. And all that's going to help reduce your cost per ton. And lastly, another identified benefit, of course, is the improvement of the work environment for the driver, which sometimes we say is important, but we day-to-day we don't really pay attention to that enough, and rubber lining will help make the life of the truck driver much more enjoyable. And of course, as I said, cost savings. So in the study, the details, of course, the details you can read here of what we covered and the parameters within the study. I'm not going to list them case by case, but during the presentation, what I am going to show you is that we're able to save this customer over a five-year period approximately $3 million by going to rubber lining over a steel lining. And, of course, at the end of the presentation, we'll break that number down a little bit and get into detail. So, the sensors, here's the locations, some of the locations that we put the sensors. Due to the time restriction, we're only focusing on a few sensors. We're focusing on four strain gauges and six accelerometers. Of course, we had a GPS on the truck as well, and a microphone for the noise measurement. The GPS was to show us if the truck was in the dumping area or in the loading area, because obviously the stresses and strains are different depending if it's being loaded or if it's dumping material. All these sensors are are being connected to a logger, and all that data eventually is being uploaded to the cloud. So it's with an app that was designed by Mezzo, we can draw that information out fairly quickly. I think within 15 minutes from the time it happens, we can pull it up on the iPad and show what the stress and strain was at that given either dump or load, or even as the truck is driving up the incline, because there's is a fair bit of strain actually at that time as well. And of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, come see us at the booth if you have more detailed questions. Of course, we'll have question and answer at the end here. But if you want to see the app, if you want to play with it a little bit, we have a couple iPads at the booth. You can look at it, and we can show you some examples. So again, as we said, the different locations of the sensors. And the next part of the presentation, I'm going to pass over to Henrik. He's going to go into some of the detailed results, and then we'll go from there. That's forward.
Okay.
That's back. And if you need the light.
Okay. So let's talk about the impact and vibrations. We would compare the steel liners versus rubber liners. Impact and vibrations cause a strain and stress on the object. The term impact is used to describe a high kinetic energy that acts on an object. Impact is often measured by its peaks, accelerations in G's and pulse duration. Example, a short pulse shock, 1 millisecond, with high magnitude, 300 G, has a little damage potential, but 20 millisecond and a 300 G shock might be critical. Vibrations are periodic oscillations. Vibrations are measured in G as well as frequency. Large G's can be very destructive due to the strain they induce, especially in reoccurring. We used a piezoelectric accelerometer. We used to measure the vibrations and the impact. For this specific test that we will show you today, the result, we carry out measurement during several weeks. And since the mine runs 24/7, we got the plenty of data collected to be analyzed. We also look at the altitude. That is the black line you can follow here. This is the signal together with the other sensor signals to be able to distinguish when a certain event happened. Here is the example where we're comparing the vibrations in the tray, both of the steel and the rubber lining, during 8 cycles, loading and dumping. The black line is the height above the sea levels. By using the signals, we can tell where the truck is. The lowest point is at the bottom of the pit, where the truck is being loaded. And here, approximately 700 feet above, is where they dump it, the waste material, into the crusher. As we can see in here in the picture, we have a major impact peaks, especially on the steel tray at loading, but also during dumping. So if we zoom in these areas, this is the difference. For steel and rubber lining, respectively, this is the loads that result in the first pass. Typically, a 320-ton truck is loaded with 4 and 5 excavator shovels each time. The first shovel resulting in major impact and vibrations. For the consecutive shovels, the rock material that is already on the tray act as a buffer. The accelerometer we choose had a max and mean value of 100 G. As can be seen, this was a little bit too small for the steel lining. We hit the maximum on that one. We have at least three major chocks that are larger than or equal as this 100 G. For the rubber lining, the impact is barely visible. We had to zoom it in to be able to see it. First we thought that the device had fell off, but when we zoomed it in, we found it. And also important here is to look at the scale at the left. Here it's plus 150, minus 150. And this is only 15 and 15 plus. So it's really huge difference. Comparisons between steel and rubber. We have here an illustration that shows what happens in both cases. We assume that the load on both the steel line tray and the rubber line tray are the same. The accelerometer, which is placed underneath the tray, will measure the G-force acceleration that is required to counteract the load. Part of the load is absorbed by the lining and the truck. As we saw from the measurement on the previous slide, the accelerometer on the steel line tray reads 100 G, and on the rubber line tray approximately 5 G only. It's a reduction of 95% less vibration. This means less strain on the structure, and over time, of course, less maintenance and refurbishment of the box and the steel frame. So this is the vibrations in the tray bottom during dumping. If we also take a closer look at the comparison between the impact and the vibration at dumping, as can be seen, the impact is lower, but it's still 35 G for the steel lining and only 4 G for the rubber lining. And it's a reduction with 89%. If we look into the strain in the rear shaft during dumping, strain is the result of stress on an object. If a material is stressed by a force, it often changes shape, extend, shortened, or pulled apart. If a material is subjected to strain frequently, it will eventually break from fatigue, and this happens on a tray. The strain is defined as the change in length divided by the material's original length. So, some results from the strain in the bottom during loading and dumping. The results from a strain gauge placed underneath the tray, close to where the accelerometer was placed, as can be expected, major impact and vibration resulted in strain. For a steel line truck, we have a lot of strain, especially at loading, but also at the dumping. The difference between these events can only be distinguished for the steel line truck. The strain on the rubber line truck is too small. So, same here, you could note the difference in scale as well. Also, strain in the rear shaft during loading and dumping. We look at the strain in the rear shaft. In the rear shaft, the highest strain is found at dumping and not during loading. the strain is quite different during the different cycles. This is mainly related to the payload, which differs slightly from time to time. Again, we cannot distinguish the difference between loading or dumping on the rubber line truck. Can hardly see it. So this is during loading and this is the dumping. We can also see that when the truck climbs uphill and starts to ascend the pit, there is no trace of this strain in the rubber line truck, but you can find it in the steel line truck. So if we zoom it in the see the strain in the rear shaft during loading, it's quite a big difference. And the same goes for the dumping part. Take this.
So the last thing I want to talk about before going into some of the conclusions is the noise testing that we did. So the noise obviously in the work environment creates physical, psychological stress, reduce productivity, and obviously it does interfere with communication as well. All this can definitely contribute to workplace accidents. So it's very important to do what you can to reduce it. Beyond that, as we know, for the workers that do have the hearing loss, it's for the rest of their life. It's definitely a pretty profound issue for the employees. So again, anything you can do to reduce that sound is to the benefit of everyone. Just to get somewhat technical, and it's here on the slide. Noise is measured in sound pressure levels, as known as decibels. I think most people know that. It's also using an A-weighted sound levels, or DPA. So, and the key to that is when you look at A-weighted sound levels, they actually very closely match the perception of loudness to the human ear. So what that means is a small change in decibels is actually a very large result in what the human ear will hear. So a small reduction in decibels means a big reduction in what you hear. So here you can see what we did here is the noise was measured inside the cab, again looking from the driver's perspective. And you can see the results for both the steel and the rubber linings. And there's four peaks here for four shovels. In the first shovel, the steel was 97 decibels. The rubber was only 87. Now, 10 decibels reduction, basically what that means to the human ear is it's half as loud. So to the human ear, that sounds half as loud, going from 97 decibels to 87, 10 decibel reduction. And then on the second shovel, you'll see it actually stays very high for the steel lining. It's still 95 decibels, and then it drops down to 82 for the rubber, so a 13 decibel change. So again, very, very big difference for the driver in terms of what he hears. And of course, as you load the third and fourth shovels, it does start to get closer and closer together because it is more of the impact on material, not on the lining itself. The other important thing that we looked at here was the reverberation time. So, which basically is how long it takes for that noise to be absorbed by the surrounding area. And what we found in our studies was with the steel lining, it lasted much, much longer than the rubber liner. So of course that lingering sound is always there for the rubber liner, or sorry, the steel lined box versus the rubber. So that's added discomfort, of course, for the driver. So conclusions, I mentioned earlier, you know, this project, we're going to save the customer approximately $3 million. So now that $3 million is basically over 10 trucks that are lined with rubber and over a five-year period. So let's look a little bit on how that breaks down. So what we basically concluded, and you can see the details above me, is the reduced vibration and strain will lead to less maintenance. And of course, less maintenance means it's the truck is available more often, so more production tons. Less wear on the lining, which is always a given for our rubber liner versus a steel liner, again, means less stops for maintenance, and again, it means more production possibility. And then, as I mentioned a few times, the added benefit, which maybe there's no cost savings to it, is the improved safety for the driver, the noise, the comfort, where they do have a steel and a rubber liner boxes, the drivers will fight for the one with the rubber liner because it is much more comfortable of a drive. And the other part of it is the installation of the steel versus installation of rubber. With our rubber lining, you don't have the fumes and the smoke that you have associated with the welding of the steel liners, and in some cases the cutting out of the old steel liners. That's a very, I'll call it, unsafe practice with high arcing, etc. So something you don't have to deal with the rubber liners because they're bolted in place. So again, continue where the savings are coming from. In the case of the steel liner, every 18 months, they're going to reline that truck with new steel. Of course, the rubber liner isn't being relined, it's continuing running. So again, every 18 months, although the lining for steel and rubber when you first do the install are going to be fairly similar, you're going to, every 18 months you're reinstalling a new steel liner, so your weight of the truck goes up again, where the rubber liner is going to continuously get lighter and lighter. And then of course, as I mentioned, they're going to reline it every 18 months, so they're going to have maintenance every 18 months, so that truck is out of operation for that period of time to cut out the steel and reinstall new steel. And the other factor that we mention here is because of the practice of how often you need to deal with that and the stress in the boxes, customers with steel liners will keep more spare boxes on site. So as we said here, in their case, three boxes versus the rubber liner, they can reduce that to one spare box. Now, again, when we came up with this number, we did gather a lot of information beyond the tests and studies, you know, finding out exactly their practices, et cetera. So that's all they're saying here. So this is kind of the beef of it here, how we break down the $3 million. So the first installation cost, a negative for rubber liners, because upfront rubber is going to cost more than the steel liner. Now, there is ways around this. For example, with Metso, we do offer services contracts that we can divide that out over many months. So we can make it actually not less upfront if it's important. But that being said, in general, the cost for rubber is more upfront. Now, again, over that period of 5 years, service and maintenance with the steel liners, installing that new steel lining, as I said, every 18 months, adds up to about $222,000. As I mentioned, as they move towards rubber, they can reduce the number of boxes, so the savings of $81,000 there. Reduced carryback. We didn't put a number to it, but it is very common for steel liners to have some carryback where the rubbers do clean out very well. So we didn't put a number to it, but it's definitely a factor, and it is case by case, mine by mine, so that's why we didn't do that. Fuel consumption. I mentioned a few times about the weight. obviously a truck that is lighter is going to use less fuel. So in this case, when we average the weight out of the steel liner versus the rubber liner, we calculate about a $50,000 savings in fuel over that 5 years. And again, you know, we're not putting a dollar sign to it, but it is worth talking about, and that's the environmental aspect. The other thing we're not talking about here, which is worth discussing, is if the truck is not running, it's not producing, as I mentioned. So you can put a dollar amount, transport tons for one truck being, in this case, 16 million over that five-year period. If you were to put a dollar amount to the lost production, rubber versus steel, when that steel liner is being redone, and put a dollar amount to that, you, in many cases, you'll actually double that number. We've seen case studies over one case study in particular, one truck lining for rubber versus one in steel. They felt that they had $1 million in more production with the rubber liner versus the steel, simply because it was running where the other lining was being fixed. So what we're basically saying is, with the adaptive rubber solution, we're reducing the number of spare boxes, the maintenance, the cost, the fuel, and there's our sales pitch. The only increase is the amount that you can earn with the rubber liner. And that is it. So if there's any questions, Henrik is going to join me if there is. And
yeah, our company has installed a lot of liners over the years. So how is it installed and how is it held in?
Typically what we do with our rubber liners is we will install a stud to the floor of the bed, and then we install the rubber liner through a stud. So nut washer from the top, and of course a plug to protect the hardware. So when you need to change it, take the plug out, access the nut, take it off, and you take the liner out.
Have you evaluated the effect of different levels of fragmentation on the noise and the vibration and all that?
Yeah, I mean, we're very early in this study. It's the first year, so I'm hoping by the end of that 5 years, we'll have a lot of data that we're going to be able to do that.
Okay, the other question is, have you seen any long-term exposure studies for haul truck drivers as far as hearing loss?
I have not. Henrik, have you seen? No, we have not seen a study of that, and it's probably something that should be done. Maybe Metso should do it on her own, because we know the difference is there. So what's that mean? Well, it's an important thing to point out. It's a good point. Thanks, guys.